If not, you'd like to read with us in Daniel, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read the 26th and 27th verse, and I desire your prayers. I've got something matter with my throat all day today. I just go to swallow, and at times I just feel like something was sticking me in my throat. So we're going to read the scripture and leave it up to the Lord whether He wants us to preach or not. But we look around the world today, and people seem to doubt the fact that there is a true and a living God, an all-powerful God. And we can take the Bible, as small a book as it is, that we can hold in our hand, we can take the Bible and the stories and the things in it of the miracles and the things that God did. You can also go and search out history, and you can find out that they're true. And, you know, God delivered Israel out of Egypt. The mightiest country on the face of the earth at that time, and Israel was not an army. They were a slave people. They were imprisoned, you might as well say, in bondage to the Egyptians, and yet God delivered them, not by their might, but by the might and the power of God. And you'll find in the Bible quite a few places where God worked miracles for His people. And here in Daniel, this 6th chapter, Darius is making this decree after that found that the angel of the Lord was able to deliver Daniel from a den of lions. And these lions were lions that was fed just enough to keep them alive so they would be ready to destroy anybody that they threw in. And yet Daniel went in and he slept all night long, and the king didn't. Because the king liked Daniel, and he had been foolish and signed a decree, being tricked into it that he could not go back upon. So he went and walked the whole night long, worried about Daniel. And he goes just as early as he can of a morning to free Daniel out of this. And Daniel was fine. And listen to what the king wrote. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For He is the living God, and steadfast forever, and His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Now, here this king, because of what he's seen just from what God had done for Daniel, he recognized that there is no God like unto Daniel's God. And in that day and time, there was a lot of gods that people worshipped. But this king was convinced that there is none as powerful as this God. Why? Because he proved himself right there. God proved himself of what he was able to do. And you'll find Nebuchadnezzar, another king, that here he thought that he was going to destroy 3 Hebrew children because that they wouldn't bow to this image that he made. And he threw them into the fire. And the men, even that threw them in, was destroyed. But when the king looked in, he seen 4 in there walking around. And when they come out, he recognized they're no God, son. And their God is. And you go right on down through the Bible, you'll find many times, even to those that didn't want to recognize that God was real, God proved himself a doer. We're living in a day and a time when people are killed. They thank God to come and make some big sign, some big wonder to prove himself that he's still alive. But God proved himself a doer. He needs not prove himself anymore. Why? Because man or a woman from his sins and give him a new life. And that same God that was alive back in Daniel's time, in Joel's time, in Ezekiel's time, in all of the men of the prophets that you want to name, all of the New Testament that you want to name, that same God is still alive today. And He knows exactly what's going to happen. Why? Because if you'll take the Bible, you'll find right now there's more people, I guess, around the world studying the Bible to see what the events are going to be taking place in just the next little time here on this earth. Why? Because they see the sign of the fulfillment of the prediction that was made in Ezekiel, in Daniel, in Revelation, all of it pointed under the covenant of Christ. Yet people today, they say, God does not really exist. And He said, I'm coming in an hour that you thank God. Today's the day when the man upon this earth, there are fewer of them looking for the covenant of Christ than there ever has been. They don't believe that it could be possible that God could go and redeem His people. Take them up to be where He is. Man just said that's a dream, it's not real. But I thank God that it proved itself that it's real. If you and I can only believe. Daniel went into that den of lions telling the king that he knew his God was able to deliver. The children of Israel there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into this fire, they told the king, we know our God is able to deliver, but if He won't, we're still not going to bow to your God. I wonder what the devil was whispering in their ears as they were being bound and then carried to be thrown into that fire. Where is your God at now? No doubt when they went food in, the devil was right there at the edge of the place saying, where's God? How's He going to deliver you now? But when they went in, they soon found He was right there in the far willow. And the Bible said when they come out, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. Their hair wasn't shed. They didn't feel the heat. Wow, that's the God that can protect you from that. That's a real God. It's not something that's imaginary. Those three men went into that fire. Three men come back out, still alive and well. When the old king, he had a changed heart. Why? He looked in and he said that it wasn't just three in there, but there were four. That one that was there for their protection, their delivery, He was able to bring them out. You and I today in the world, they might not see God around us, but when it comes time for our delivery, they will see that God still lives and reigns, and that He's able to do the impossible. You know, we're living in a day and a time when man does not want to recognize that we're not the final authority. But if we don't, we're going to come to the place when this life is over, realize that God is the final authority, whether we want to recognize it here. O King Nebuchadnezzar, with all that he seen, all that was witnessed unto him, he still thought that he was so powerful, God had to break him down, that he ate grass as an ox. Then his son, witnessing all that happened to his dad, 17 years from the time that Daniel and the three Hebrew children was in the fire, 17 years from that, his son was reigning and had no more respect for that living God that his dad had recognized as being one that all should tremble before. He took the golden vessels from the house of the Lord. and drinking wine and having a big party with concubines and all right there as if God is nothing. But you'll find it wasn't even a whole hand. It was just the fingers of a hand to hold a pen. And it began to write upon the wall. And it draw fear to him. He began to tremble. He realized that's something I haven't seen before. It's just a part of a hand right on the wall. Nobody could tell him what it was until he heard about Daniel. And Daniel come in and told him what the writing was. Face of the earth that's stronger than the power of God. You know, I was out this morning at 4:30 walking around in the yard watering some things because it's been so dry and so hot. And it was dark. I was just doing it by the moonlight and enjoying looking up and seeing how bright the moon was and the stars. Just enjoying myself out there, thinking of the vastness of God. And you see the moon and how far away it is. And yet man, through the knowledge that God blessed us to be able to create things and make things, we've had men go out there and walk around on the moon. We've had robots to go and walk around on Mars. We got them that's flying way out in the deep space of this solar system. And we think, man, that's really something. But God, the one that created all of this, they recognize we've got a telescope that's up there in space that's looking out light years out there in space, and we realize we have not seen yet to the edge of the creation that God has done, and we thank for something. What kind of a God, brother, that it took to create all of that and then say He's mine for me and you here? How without giving up count of the ones of bread? You and I, we need to bow before and tremble. Why? Because of the majesty and the power of God. We can't begin to think of how great that He is, and we can't begin to understand the wisdom and the knowledge that God has. For you ain't yet a plan of salvation that was perfect, able to do all that He intended. Why, it was His Son that come to fulfill that plan, to do exactly what me and you needed, to be redeemed back to God. If these kings back in the Bible was smart enough to recognize the power and the workings of God, to where they said that men ought to tremble in fear before Him, how much more should men today tremble in fear before God? Yet the devil has passed off the words, God is love, God is love, to the point that man thinks that means I can get by in my sin and it'll be all right because God is love. Look in the Bible. That same heart of God has not changed. He just made a plan of salvation that man can be redeemed, but we must come to that. Not live in our sin, but come out from our sin through it by the blood of Jesus Christ and be born again. Be that new creature in Christ Jesus. Not that old man or that old woman, but be that new person in Christ Jesus. You and I today, when we come to that, it makes no difference what kind of a sinful life we used to live. We can become a new creature. Those old things that had a bound, they no longer control us. Why? Because that new heart on the inside, it desires to go to a different place. It desires to the things of the Lord. It deserves to read and to learn about the mighty power of God, the love of God, how great that He is. You and I today, God's greatness is there for us to take hold of. But we might walk that path that He laid down for His children to walk. And if we don't, we're going to find the wrath of God being extended unto us. Look back there when He brought Israel out of Egypt, not by their power, their might. They did nothing to deliver themselves, but they walked out of Egypt with the treasures of Egypt. They walked out of there with the gold as if they had conquered the place and took it. God gave it unto them, and they walked out. God destroyed the army that was chasing them right in their sight. And then they get to the promised land and doubt God. God said, go in and take it. And they doubt God because of what they seen there. The people that was there, they was afraid. They was a mighty people. And God said, it's yours for the taking. But because they doubted, everyone that was of age that they should have went in and took the land, everyone that would have been considered an adult, but two that went in and brought out a true report, died without going in to see the promised land. In 40 years' time, He destroyed them all right there in the wilderness. You and I today, man says, oh, God's a loving God. He won't let something bad happen to you. His people, because they lack faith to take God at His word, He destroyed them. You and I today, He says, my son, it's the door. You must come in by Him. You must come in the way that I say. And man says, it's not necessary. You'll find that Israel, when they come out and found out that God was so displeased with them after they were scared to go in and take the land, then they decided, we'll do it. But God wasn't ready for them to do it then. He had done pronounce what was going to happen to them. And they were defeated. You and I today, we come the way of the cross. We come the way that God laid down. Or we don't go with God at all. And here these kings, they recognize the power of God. And here this one, it said, and steadfast forever in His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And when this earth is gone and the fullness of it burn up, just as God said, God will still be living on. You and I today, we must we must come the way that God has said. And you look at this. These kings, how that they come to the place, even they're the one that the handwriting was on the wall. He went to do exactly what He had promised unto Daniel, to give him exactly what He promised, but He wasn't able to change what the hand that wrote on the wall. Why? Because He had already been weighed in the balances and found wanting. You'll find in Joel, the 3rd chapter, I think it's the 14th verse, it said, multitude, multitude in the valley of decision.
You and I today, we're looking at a world that's standing in a valley of decision, unwilling to make up their mind to go with God. Here in America, we're supposed to be a God-fearing country. And yet, if we had any knowledge of the Bible at all, we'd see what's going on in the Middle East. For the error that is fighting against Israel, that will not even recognize that she should be there, that wants to have her done away with, destroy. Why? Because God said it's not going to happen. And you and I today, if we stand with those that want to destroy Israel, we stand against God, and God's going to call us into judgment for that. You and I today, it's time for us to recognize God's word is true, and when we stand before Him, we're going to find that every bit of it is going to come to pass or has come to pass the way that God said. You and I today, we can look around the world and we can see all kinds of signs of the coming of the Lord. And yet man just excuses on the way. You'll find back there again, Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked into that fire in scene 4. He said, the fourth one is likened to the Son of God. Where did he get such an idea? God put it in his heart. You and I today, I don't know what Christ looks like. I believe every Christian has got a picture in their mind of what they think Christ might look like. But when I see Him, I'll know exactly who He is. The whole world is going to know exactly who He is. They're not going to have to be introduced to Him. They will know exactly who He is. You and I today, God has given us a wonderful gift. And that, the opportunity to be forgiven. He brought it so close as to knock upon the heart of man. If we don't accept that, when we stand before Him, we will have no excuse. You know, if somebody has a check for you for $100,000 and you're having difficulty making your rent or your car payment, and they come up to hand you a check for $100,000, you'd be foolish to say, well, is it real? If I took it, would it really be any good to me? You would take it and go to the bank and find out, wouldn't you? And you say, thank you. People won't even as much as try, God, to see and find out whether He's real or not. They stand back and say, oh, that can't be true. That can't be true. Why not try, God, and find out? What have you got to lose? Come and give your heart and life to the Lord. If you're not satisfied with what God gives you, the devil will be there to take you back. But you and I've never found a person yet that comes to God that was not satisfied. I've even found people that turned their back and walked away from God. But it was not because God was not able to satisfy. It was because they got discouraged over something. They got irritated over something. They let the devil come in and cheat them out of their prayer life, of the things that they have with God. And then you want man or woman enough to go back before God and get on their knees and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. Just like you find the prodigal son. He realized when he was there in the hard field what he was about to do. That he's in the hard field. When he got that low, he realized, my servant, the servant in my father's house, those that I used to to go back on our knee before Heavenly Father
and repent, we can find that forgiveness and that spirit of freedom again and be looked upon as one of His children again if we'll only repent. While we get some song to sing, I beg each and every one of you that's here, if you will, please, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you it's not necessary, that the world just won't continue on as it has been. You know, the Bible even talks about that. And people are worried about us running out of energy, running out of this and running out of that. You know, when God created this world, He knew how long it was going to last. He knew how many people was going to be living here. He knew just what resources we needed to be able to live unto the end. And we're going to have enough. You don't have to worry about it. Why? Because my God plans things very well. And each and every one of us put our faith and trust in God, not in the words of man. People, they'll talk about, oh, they've proven this or they've proven that. You and I, we need to come to the one that's proven that He's God and besides Him there is none other. That's proven He's the one that holds all power. There is not a weapon of war. There's not a king or a ruler that's ever been anywhere near the power that God's got in His little finger. They might have thought that they were purple. We might think that we've got massive weapons that can destroy hundreds of thousands, even billions of people. Well, God can destroy all of us in a moment of time if He chooses to. He can wipe out this whole solar system in a second time if He chooses to. We're at the mercies of God. And it's time for us to recognize that before Him, we are nothing, but we can be made into something special if we'll surrender unto Him. While we sing one verse of a song, will you come? These kings back in the Old Testament recognized the power, the might of Almighty God. You and I today, what does it take for God to prove Himself unto us that He's not already done? You know, if man gives you an example of something, does he need to keep giving you that example every year, every few months? God gave them to us all through the Bible and got them right there for you and I to take hold of. Then He said, I'll prove myself to you if you'll come unto me. When God forgives you of your sin, it's something the whole world cannot make you doubt. Why? Nobody can make you feel that good as when that sin has been forgiven and you realize I am free from it. There's no feeling like it. I can't describe it. You hear people say you're not saved, but feeling no, I wasn't. There was no feeling there but condemnation under forgiveness coming. And when I was forgiven, then the good feeling comes. You and I today, it's there if we want to take hold of salvation.